That is like every conversation anyone has after a Sunday church service in Georgia.
Yes.
No, they're all No, listen. I have two first ex-husbands. My first ex-husband.
The first one. The one that didn't count.
His second cousin's... You know Cheryl. PTA.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to know
so
Cheryl.
So her hairdresser.
This relationship is doomed.
All right. Hey, y'all. It's Lace.
It's Catherine. And welcome to a Cowboy Carter's Review podcast.
Okay.
Welcome to the Cowboy Carter dissertation by two, all right. By two white girls.
It's what the whole world's been waiting on.
Yeah. By two suburbanites.
That's right. You told me to go listen to the episode of Las Culturistas. So shout out to, our sister podcast that doesn't know we're sisters, but I went and listened. It's Bo and Yang and Matt Rogers for anybody who doesn't listen, which if you don't, please, you got to get your life together and start listening. But they did one where they did a whole breakdown and I absolutely loved it. I don't even think I made it through the whole thing. I think there's still a little bit left of it. So I listened to most of it. I didn't get to the end. Now that I pull it up, I realize that.
I've listened to it. So I let myself soak it in for about 5 days. It's all I could listen to.
Oh, same.
Also, after Renaissance, if you're not into Cowboy Carter, just fast forward 20 minutes.
Have we made it clear that what Cowboy Carter is for those who might have been living under a rock? It's Beyonce's.
Oh, you don't know. No. If you don't know what Cowboy Carter is, open your door and walk outside. You haven't been out. In a week and a half yet. Just stand out on a street corner and you'll hear it blaring from every other Jetta and Mazda driving by.
Absolutely. I have said to several people, oh my God, have you heard Cowboy Carter yet? And they'd go, oh my God, I haven't yet. I want to. And I'm like, if you wanted to, you would. If they want to, they will. If they wanted to, they would. That's just a good note for everybody in your life. But if a friend tells you they want to listen to Cowboy Carter and haven't, then they don't really want to.
I get angry when people are like, I had a good friend of mine who was like, I heard one song and it scared me. It scared you? Are you only listening to what? Like Kids Bop? Some of them are dark. Some of them are deep. But, like, you're an adult human being who's been through dark, deep shit. Tap in, bitch.
Please tell me which song they were referring to. What are you talking about?
Daughter's pretty dark.
Okay, but it's good. It's all good. What do you mean scared? None of it. I would, in the top 200 adjectives I would use to describe the album, scary would not even be anywhere near there.
I think you're scared of the person, and I think you're scared of the power that Beyonce has. But here's so my thing, why I'm so obsessed with, obviously this album is amazing, but it just, every song blows me away because it's like nothing you've ever heard before, and there's such a mix of like genres. I mean, there's rock. Dude, I was so obsessed with this. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, there's like rock and there's jazz and there's blues and there's gospel. And then there's straight up like R&B.
Opera.
Opera. And then, you know, you've got your country western, like your old country western in there. And then like just a very like mix of still a bit of like dance house music in some and
new country and new pop. Country.
And it's like, who, all like one song. I mean, one song can deviate. It dips, ebbs and flows, and it's so, you can tell how much of a student she is of
other music. Oh, 100%. And this is why I loved this one. And I know you don't agree with me, but that's why we're all allowed to have our feelings about it. But I feel like this is more like Lemonade to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than Renaissance was. I felt like Renaissance was kind of a one-off. It was great for like house music, party music, like all that is great. A lot of dance stuff. But like, I feel like the way Lemonade hit me with every single song was like a different place you've been in your life and a different, you know, genre mix and collab. Yeah. And that's how this one feels to me.
I love, once you hear, you know, who she's influenced by, and then you go back and listen, you hear it. I love Black Keys are one of my favorite bands. I love like kind of that alt rock, but I'm obsessed with Jack White. And I remember Jack White is featured on a song of hers in Lemonade. Mm-hmm. And I'm obsessed with him.
And I always have been. Have you seen him live?
No, I would.
Catherine.
No, I would be. I would lose my mind.
I lost my freaking mind.
You listen to, there's a song on here. I think it might be Ya Ya, where she does that kind of like, it's kind of an echoey holler in the back.
Uh-huh.
It's very Jack Whitey. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? You hear what I'm saying? So you hear that influence. And then obviously there's like so much of like, there's a lot of like, I feel like there's some Tina Turner in there and whatever. I think that'll be what the next album is. But when Jack White posted that thank you note from Beyonce, that was like, you so inspired cool. me throughout this album. I was like, I knew it. I knew I heard so much of him in there. The thing is,
dude,
the thing that I love, every time she puts out something new or I get a new Beyonce resurgence, I walk about life with my head held higher, with my shoulders pulled back, because she really does like, she really, I know she does this to a lot of people, but she's not just a musician to me. She is like, she has such a big heart, but it's not like, she doesn't let the outside world diminish how she feels about herself or determine how she feels about herself. And everything she does is elevated from the last thing she does. And it's new and it's innovative. And everything she does is also through a lens of like love and acceptance of yourself and like celebrating yourself and everything about you and everything that comes about. And,
I think more than even on top of all of that, in addition to what you said, I think empowerment, I think, is definitely the ongoing theme.
Yeah.
Like empowering, like you go through shit. She doesn't shy away from the shit people go through in their lives, but then it's always some sort of like, and this is how I overcame. This is how you can overcome. I mean, every topic she covers, it's always there's always optimism in there. It's never just like, anger, end of the world, everything's shit. She never takes that turn, which is great.
Even, I mean, there's so many, like, I've gone through so many favorites. It's like I go through different, they used to be the slower ones. I was like in my feels. I had like a very emotional day and I was listening to, I don't know why. No one, this is not a favorite anymore, but I love Just for Fun. I don't know. I think I was kind of alone all week in LA, just kind of decompressing from an insane month. And had a lot of quiet time by myself and was into that. And then Flamenco, I don't know. These are like shorter kind of transition songs in between the different kind of chapters in the album. But I was obsessed with those. But if you listen to Protector and then My Rose. Okay, I don't know if this is right for us to talk about it, but I'm just going to say it.
Say it.
I feel kind of dirty, but I'm not saying this in a dirty, cheap way. I'm saying this is very Beyonce-esque and how when you kind of learn about her life and it's beautiful, like Protector is obviously a song to her daughters, right? About
her daughters.
Have you heard any? So essentially like we don't never really see Sir Remy's Gwen. And there's rumors that he may have some neurodivergence in him, but so people are saying that My Rose is a song to him,
oh,
about you know, celebrating who you, it's so sweet. If you, if, when you're thinking about that,
well, now with that context,
it's like, it's like, how many times have you put yourself down today? Like, celebrate yourself, essentially. It's very sweet. I know. So I just,
well, do they ever show, I mean, where they, do they show either of the babes, the little ones?
Rumi's out there all the time. That's little Solange. She's like, I'm doing my own thing. She's like, she's a little spitfire.
Yeah.
She's out there, baby. We love her.
Because I'm used to seeing Blue Ivy, but I didn't realize that the little, I felt like maybe she was just keeping the little ones in just because they were.
Rumi was small. Out during Renaissance. Like she, like whenever Blue was out there dancing, they would, there was pictures of Rumi out there with signs for, for Blue and out there dancing with her dad. You know, but we may, you know, you never know. I just, it's a very, I don't know. It's very, she's very focused on her family. I think she like, she just operates from a place of groundedness. As big as she is and as amazing as she is and how much she learned, she still operates from a place of groundedness and love and of celebration. So I don't know, it's just like, it makes me, it, I feel like a better person. I feel like I'm better as an artist myself. I'm an artist.
Sure. I'm an artist. Sure, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
She makes me feel better about failing. That's what I'll say about Beyonce.
That's good.
Because I feel like failing a lot of times is just another step to growing bigger and better.
Well, if you're not failing, you're not trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure. She's tried it all. I mean, it's so funny you're talking about this, and I'm like, I've pulled up her whole, like, what would you call, like, everyone's back stuff? What is the word? Archive? My brain is
discography.
Discography. Thank you. Yes. Discography. So I'm looking back and I'm just like, just the choices that she's made. I mean, if you look at her little baby pick, the 2006 album, B-Day, and just how young and fresh, she's fresh out of Destiny's Child, but taking a huge risk. And then I Am Sasha Fierce. Just remembering the whole Sasha Fierce thing.
Mm-hmm. I had that in my car.
It feels so, I don't know if silly is the word, but it just feels like a million years ago. And it just feels so young and innocent from her to be like, I have another side of me that I have to be to be on stage.
Yeah.
I'm Sasha Fierce when I'm on stage. It's just like such a, and now she's like, she doesn't need any fucking
side.
She doesn't need, she doesn't need that shit.
I mean, like,
I'm fully Beyonce. She's grown. She's made mistakes. I'm sure she's done a lot of shit. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did, said, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she's fucking killing it. I love it. I just love the mix. It's almost like how you go to a diner and or like a Cheesecake Factory and the menu has every type of food on it. Every, like, it'll have Greek food and Italian food and Mexican food and desserts and home cooking and all, and you're like, there's no way in hell that that kitchen can make us all of this different food and do it properly. There's just no, there's too many things on the menu. There's too many different things on the menu.
It's not like anything else. Like, she's made like a fried chicken ravioli soup and made it
right. But then you get your meal and you're like, if everyone at the table orders something totally different from a different type of food that's on the menu, and then it all is going to come out perfectly. That's kind of how this is.
And it's like all, it's a vision. Like, have you listened to they said that Cowboy Carter was supposed to be the first act. Hmm. And it was going to be called Beyonce with an I.
Right.
And then, you know, it was set to release after the pandemic. She realized people needed to dance and celebrate and get outside. So she put out Renaissance first. You listen to the end of Cowboy Carter, the end, Amen, when it rolls straight into, that
American
girl.
Requiem?
No.
Oh, well, yeah, sorry. No. Yeah.
It's a perfect seamless transition. It goes, it's like, and it's like, you can tell that this was all a vision. So we'll see what the third one is. But I'm grateful to be. There's a lot. It's a beautiful and a heavy world that we live in now with social media and all this technology. It's also beautiful, but it's also a great time because we get to be alive during the time of Beyoncé's blossoming.
Truly. It's it's something special.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I think she's fucking great. I mean, it was truly lemonade. I mean, because, you know, when I was in high school, Destiny's Child was obviously the thing, and that was out, and everybody loved that, and it was awesome. It was so cool to have, like, a really fun girl group to, you know, learn all the dance moves to and all that, but I don't think I really truly fell in love with her and how different she was and how much of an artist she was until Lemonade.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I didn't love all of her music. I loved all of her music, yeah.
It does feel like Lemonade was the beginning of a different era.
Yeah.
It was like a shift from...
Something snapped.
Yeah. I mean, she was always pop, R&B.
Yeah.
But Lemonade hit and it was like, there is no definition. It's Beyonce.
There's no more. You can't, yeah.
There's no.
And I mean, ultimately, you could say it all is to quote pop. You know, you can say that. I think that that's safe to say that most. I mean, it's because it's popular music, and you can't. And she's so huge that it's almost impossible for one of her songs, despite what genre bending it is, like how genre bending it is, it's impossible for it not to be popular. So, I mean, it's kind of still pop music at the end of the day.
I want to know what people like her. What is your day to day? What do you wake up? What do you do? Do you kiss your kids goodnight? Like, do you, do you know what I mean? Like, do you sit down and...
I know it doesn't look anything like my day. I know that.
I want to know the normal shit. That's always what I, like, are you godlike? Are there people just carrying you around everywhere? I mean, I know you walk on your own and you work your ass off and you work hard, but, like, what about the normal shit? Like, does the baby cry and you go, I'm going to go change its diaper? Or has
Are you out? Do you realize that you're out of, toilet paper?
Never.
You run to the store and you go grab toilet. I mean, like, do you have to make those decisions? Do you have to worry about those things? Or do you pay enough people that the fridge is always full, pantry's always dead? Like, everything that you don't have to worry about those basic things.
No, but what do you wake up and do?
Right.
Do you wake up?
Are you waking up and tired and going to the baby's room and getting the two kids? Like, are you going in there and checking? And are you pushing Jay-Z in the middle of the night going, oh my God, one of them's having a nightmare again. Could you go in there and take care of it?
I don't think they do. They definitely have night nannies.
Or is there a nurse on? Yeah. Is there a nanny on like all night, like on duty 24/7 for all of them?
I think that's it.
But they got to hug and love their kids though. So there's got to still be. There'll be a documentary about this in the future. Don't you worry. We'll find out later.
I thought about this. This is the thing. I thought about this. Like, who has died that is still holy? I know Prince is still holy.
Closest
Prince
thing.
Prince is still holy. There's been nothing that came out afterwards. I mean, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson kind of,
I mean, there's Tina Turner.
She's so holy.
Prince.
You know, I've heard stories. I have a very close friend who is close with a family, right? That has children and a wealthy celebrity pop star of the 2000s family. Mm-hmm. And I've heard stories and it is like, oh no, you have a lot of help. So, like, the way they talk about things, like how they raise their kids and how proud they are. And I've heard about, the night nannies and the day nannies and the 2-day nannies for your 11-year-old.
It's crazy.
Like, they constantly have somebody tending to their children. And then they kind of, so I'm like, you just don't know. I don't know. I don't know their lives, but I'm like, the way you talk about motherhood and everything else, like, is, it's beautiful. And it's amazing, but it's not the day-to-day errands that most people are living, for sure. And that's okay. That's fine. It's very interesting. It's a different world.
I mean, you know it on a more basic level of just a wealthy family that you nannied for. And you know how seamless kind of you made the child rearing and all of that stuff, and how you took a lot off of their shoulders just by just being the one you, just being able to take the kid. I mean, there was millions of times where we'd be on the phone or something and you're like taking the kid, like you take the kids out of the house, you're taking them to places, you're taking care of stuff, they're getting fed, you're buying them stuff, you're kind of raising them a little because you've got to correct them here and there, you got to tell them stuff. Like, that's a lot to take off a plate for a family. So you know it on like a micro level. Could you imagine if you were international untouchable superstars, two superstars? Like, it's not just like that one of them, it's both of them. There's no way. There's no way. There's just no way.
I know.
There's got to be 100 of you.
Yeah,
on staff.
And then I see her mom posting stuff like, call an old one today and tell you love them. And the way her mom posts stuff, it feels also like quite kind of normal. I think.
Well, maybe her mom also. Maybe Tina's just in the house too, just like a regular ass grandma. She might be like, you know what, nanny number 32, you can go take a break, honey. Here's a 20. Go buy yourself something pretty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go get a froyo and I'll take care of the kids for this afternoon. I mean, maybe, you know, does Auntie Solange come over and roll around on the floor with the kiddos?
She does whatever the F she wants, whenever she wants.
You
Solange
know?
Is, Solange is the, is the personification of a middle finger sticking out of a sunroof in a Fiat on the highway.
Yeah. Very interesting. That's a good analogy.
She just
there.
Doesn't give a shit, and she's like, I'm gonna do my artsy fartsy stuff however I want to do it, and it doesn't matter. I love her.
Well, because it's pointless for her to try to ever like be in her sister's footsteps or be in the same genre. It's just pointless for her, so why not just be the artsy fartsy one, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I remember her dad doing an interview one time when they were trying to figure out the new Destiny's Child group, when they kicked out the two, and her dad wanted Solange in the group, and she said no.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like, that's not my lane. I don't want to be in that lane. And she was very young at the time, very, very young. To know
Good
that as
her.
A teenager, to watch her sister gain all the fame and notoriety, and already know then that wasn't going to bring her happiness and joy, and that wasn't her lane, is pretty wild. She's a middle finger sticking out of the sunroof of a Fiat on the one-on-one, baby.
The album is fantastic. I keep going back and back and back over and over and over though, and keep going back to I keep wanting to say Smoke Hour, but it's not Smoke Hour.
Most Wanted,
that little interlude. Yeah, Most Wanted and Levi's Jeans. I just keep going over and over and over. And then I skip down to Riverdance. And I've just been going through those three way too many times.
I know. I've had my favorites. And they've all changed. I love that about it. It's almost like three albums in one.
It's so many. I mean, think about it. Most albums. This is 27 freaking tracks. I mean,
A lot of
some
interludes, of them are. Yeah.
But still, like. But this is how I used to feel. And I don't. I don't know if you're ever a fan of Janet. You ever a fan of Janet Jackson?
No. Weirdly, my dad was.
Girl, can I introduce you to an album? Okay, so here's my recommendation for you. This is your homework. So just to give your brain a break from Beyonce for a second, because I think while you're in the middle of listening to this, I think that you will have so much appreciation for this particular Janet album. So it's called The Velvet Rope.
Okay.
And it came out, I think it came out in 98 or 99. And holy shit.
Everything.
The little interludes. It's very sexy. It's very sexy. But there's definitely also like some fun, like poppy, dancey stuff. But it is a sexy album.
Oh,
and it is a grown ass woman album. And the interludes in between the songs are very reminiscent of how Beyonce does her stuff and how, well, which is her stuff is reminiscent of Janet because Janet's been around, you know, for way before. So it's definitely takes from that. You can definitely tell that she's also probably an influence. I'm sure an influence on her. But goddamn, that is one of my all-time favorite Janet albums.
Oh, I'm going to listen. It's funny. Like, do you feel like comedy? I'm like, I don't think I definitely have influences. I know. But I don't. You can also do comedy and be really good at comedy and not study any other comedy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, like, I agree. Like music, you can't do that. You have to be a student of everything.
Unless you're just, you're doing your own, unless you are one of those like geniuses who like as a kid can write music. If you can like, and you're just like, created you, the, your you own get, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think most musicians probably just love, and it's like me. I mean, I do. I also love comedy. I mean, I like to hear a little bit of everything and what everybody's doing and all of that. I mean, I watch Dave Attell. Have you seen Dave Attell's special, the latest one?
Yeah. I mean,
did
I,
you giggle?
So, yeah, I was I in Austin got with into him the entire week fit. Before.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I watched him a few times at Mothership that weekend before it came out, and was in. Oh, like,
I mean,
like everything people say about him, it's still not enough. He is what the word I say is relentless.
He's just relentless.
Yeah, he just comes out.
Stop.
Does it's boom, fuck, boom,
he's
boom.
A pit
and
bull.
Then he, yeah, but he's also,
and he can't get him off.
But he also can't, he also like has no ego. No ego about himself. Calls himself a hack in every interview, every podcast you ever do with him.
Yep.
And that he's on.
There were even two moments in the special where he's like, don't. He's like, don't laugh at that. That doesn't deserve that. He's like, don't. Don't cheer on mediocre comedy.
Yeah.
It's so fucking
funny.
The thing
about it, also the thing about his comedy is there's no ego to it. Like it's almost like it's so good, but it's not like pretentious. That's it.
No. He knows what he's doing. He's just he is the misdirect king.
Yes.
The literal, hands down, he holds the championship title. He is the misdirect king, period, end of story. He's so fucking good. I mean, I just keep repeating. I've watched the whole special twice now. And is what's so funny is it's not that different than all the other, than like Skanks for the Memories, like one of the OG one. Like, it's still all along those same lines. I've even seen him use, I'm pretty sure, several of these setups that are in this special, but with different misdirects. As punchlines, and you'll get me every time. You're gonna get me every fucking time. Like, I know what's coming. I have it all. I almost memorized now because there's so many one-liners, and it still makes me laugh just repeating it in my head.
Yeah. Ugh, he's so good. He's so
fucking good.
It's like old school. He's so good. Old school comedy.
Yes. It's the old school, the ba-dum-tsh, like that kind of shit, but with such a funnier twist. Oh my God. He's the best. So when it comes to like listening to other comedians, yeah, there are some that, and you know, not everyone's going to agree. Somebody's listening to this podcast can be like, oh, I guess I need to go listen to Dave Attell, and then be like, what the fuck was that? I'm sure. I don't understand that. That doesn't compute in my mind that somebody would feel that way.
Yeah. Maybe you listen to, why don't you go listen to The Birds Chirp then? If you can't, enjoy Dave Attell.
You know, if they want to go listen to Matt Rife instead, that's okay. That's their prerogative, you know? But we should all be watching and listening to a little bit of everything. I mean, but you can, you're right. I think same way with some musicians, I think you can be a comic who doesn't study other comics and still be great at it, because sometimes it's just fucking natural and it's not anything that you can study or learn. You just, you speak in that way. You perform in that way. You write in that way.
You just own your own shit.
That's right.
Yeah.
For sure. I've definitely noticed that from my class. I'm going to tell you that from teaching class for so many years and watching so many people. There's some people who were just naturally like never had performed. No, like, I definitely see that. There's people who come in and who are huge comedy fans. They're fans, you're right?
Yeah.
They're nerds. They're fans. They love it. They've got a fire inside of them because they want to be like so-and-so or so-and-so or whatever. And I watch them kind of struggle more than the people who have no influences. They're like, oh, I mean, I don't, you know, I've watched SNL or I like such and such or, you know, so-and-so. But they don't really study it and they've never been a performer. And then sometimes those are some of the funniest people on the planet that come through.
Yeah,
and they never pick up the fucking mic again. They come through and they're
genius. We don't need anymore.
Them. I'm like, get out. It's fine. Go back to your good job that pays well and your family and your nice house. And don't please don't come.
I never encourage anyone to do comedy.
No. I try to scare the shit out of them in the class. I mean, I'm like, because I need them. If they are going to take it seriously, I do want them to know this shit ain't easy. But also, I just want to weed out anybody who's, you know.
Unless you want to run a show that I can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Beyonce definitely is a student of other music, even whether she has to be or not. She doesn't have to be, but she definitely, it's shows that she is. And I loved that note too. I saw the same thing. I saw it on Jack White's. You know, Jack, my buddy Jack.
I love them as a duo. What is the song on Lemonade that they're on together?
It's Don't Hurt Yourself.
Yes.
Don't Hurt Yourself.
Oh, God, yeah, he's so good.
I love that song. I might have to get off of this podcast and listen to it again. It's so fucking good. So for years, Lemonade, even to this day, there's two albums, which Cowboy Carter might now be my new one. But when I'm on an airplane, and if I'm not already like in the middle of a podcast listening to one, what I'll do during that whole, when they're doing the announcements and shit, I'll just play something just all the way through. And sometimes I'll do it until I get in the sky and then maybe take a nap or whatever. But if I listen to an album, it's always Lemonade.
Yeah.
Always. It's the best. I'm telling you, if you are in the airport, there is nothing that will get your mind off of the stress of just humans. Mm-hmm. And then to drown out the announcements you've heard 1,000 times, and to just get ready, and when the flight's taken off, there's no better album than Lemonade for that. And then the other one of mine is Radiohead.
Really
several of theirs. Yeah, In Rainbows is one of the it's so fucking good. But yeah, Radiohead does it for me too. Like, that's, it's perfect for just, it takes you
drowning
to another
out.
Yeah, it takes you to another realm. The music's good. It's chill enough. It's interesting. It just, and then I just don't stress or worry. I especially do that if I have someone in my row that is annoying the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, those two albums will just help take me to another place.
Have you ever heard of Rainbow Kitten Surprise?
Uh-uh. What is that? Is that a band?
Yeah, and I love them. They're one of their first albums. It's RKS. Rainbow Kitten Surprise is one that I listen to. It's very... They're kind of like Kings of
RKS
Men.
Is the album?
Yeah, it's so good.
All right, I'm adding it.
Good Night Chicago.
What kind of music is it?
Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, like, it's rock.
All rock. All rock.
Nice.
Yeah, so good. Okay, two more. I watched two movies last night. I broke my heart open last night. I took shrooms.
Oh.
I want to be a day walker with shrooms. I want to be a day. I just can't.
It's hard.
I just did a little capsule, but it's going to, I have to be, the rest of the night has to be for me and me only.
Yeah.
Maybe with friends, maybe with close friends, but I don't.
Yeah.
I shan't be like meeting anyone. I don't want to be meeting anybody. I don't want to have small talk.
You can't do business. You can't.
I shan't be doing business.
No friends, no business. No new friends and no business deals. No.
No.
Okay, so what did you see?
Dune 2. Dune Part 2. Have you seen it yet?
I didn't even see Dune 1. I'm going to be honest with you.
Lace.
I know. I'm sorry.
Big
mistake?
I'll say this about Dune 2 that is we need right now. It's Dune 1 is a catastrophe. Everybody's dying. It's horrendous. Mm-hmm. So sad. Then Dune 2 comes along, and it's almost, no one has said this, and no one said this critique, but it's one of those plots where, like, they pretty much just, like, win the whole time. No one really dies. Not, like, no good guys are really dying. I'm probably ruining it. Sorry. But it's so good.
Oops, sorry. Spoiler alert.
It's so good, and Florence Pugh's, her outfits are so amazing.
I do love her. How are there more, though? Are there more coming?
Yeah.
Is this like a whole? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. But
well, this is what it is. This is okay. If there's another one, this is because they got to get you up so they can really fuck you over.
Oh, they're about to
in the third one.
Us.
Yeah.
In the third one. This one was. This one was I know. I'm scared. I'm scared because this one was.
Now you're too connected.
I'm so good, dude.
You're invested.
Oh, dude. I just.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
He is like, he's so perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah. He's a beautiful man.
He's like a Lego action figure came to life.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you so perfectly rectangular and so hot?
Do you know?
So rectangular.
Do you know who his stepmom is? So close.
Hold on.
So close.
Hold on. Let me guess. Be honest.
Not far off.
Okay. Aretha Franklin.
I wish. I fucking wish. You're not far off. It's a legend. It is a legend. It's a musical legend. You're in the right. Ready? Are you ready?
No, but they're not blood related.
Stepmother.
Okay.
Ready?
Give it to me.
Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? Okay. Are you ready degrees of separation from Josh Brolin?
Yeah, give it to me.
Okay. So my ex, who was the impetus for Cheaties.
Yeah.
His cousin, okay, it might be 3 degrees, but really 2, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His cousin married. So his first cousin, she got married the second time. Her second husband, he already had kids. One of his daughters' name is Catherine.
I love that.
She's married to Josh Brolin.
Okay,
her grandmother, so Josh Brolin and her, because she's much younger than him, they live in Georgia.
He lives in Georgia?
They live in Georgia, yes.
Why?
Josh and Catherine. So, well, because her family's all here. So my ex's cousin and her whole whole extended family is all in Georgia. And, oh my God, and her sister, her stepsister, is Heather McMahon's makeup artist.
That's what Heather McMahon,
Chandler.
She knew his wife. So it's because they're Georgia people. I don't envy
so
her.
So Heather McMahon, yes. So Heather's makeup artist is Chandler West. Chandler is Catherine's stepsister. So Josh Brolin is her brother-in-law. They have kids together. And so in all of the grandparent pictures, the grandparents are my ex's first cousin is one of their grandparents. And then the other grandparent is fucking Barbara Streisand. So
now,
this will just pop up in my feed of just pictures of Barbara Streisand and Josh Brolin all the time. And I'm like, this is so wild. But anyway, sorry, I had to get that out.
Imagine what you just said. That is like every conversation anyone has after a Sunday church service in Georgia.
Yes.
That's not all... no, so my...
No. Listen.
My first... If my first no, ex-husband...
So my...
I have two first ex-husbands. My first ex-husband.
The first one. The one that didn't count.
His second... Hold on, no. His second cousin's... Well, you know Cheryl. PTA.
Well,
Cheryl.
Well, you got to know
so
Cheryl.
So her hairdresser. So she...
Yes.
Her
yes.
cousin.
Yes.
Her second cousin.
Yes. Okay, but it's Janet's oldest kid, okay? Copeland is Janet's oldest.
Yeah, from her second marriage. Remember
but okay,
that.
So, but let me back
the
up.
Other
so,
one, the other one's so, gay, so they don't, so he
the,
ain't no,
they
he,
are not having any, they have any natural kids.
Yeah. He was her son, he's now her second cousin.
That's right. They changed it in the, they changed it in the newsletter. You'd see it, it comes out.
They got it in old.
But how wild though, how wild. So all of these things pop up. So, and I'll be like, well, wait, why is this showing up on my... And then I have to go, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so. Even with, like, the makeup artist, Chandler, like, she works on all of these stars. But I started noticing Heather McMahon was posting pictures with Chandler, and I was like, wait, why is Chandler... Because Chandler's Copeland's youngest. Anyway, it just blows my mind. And then I realized that I knew all of them from back when we dated 17 years ago. Right.
Get back together and touch
being with the
Brolin's jawline. I just want to graze his jawline.
He's beautiful.
With the back of
He's
my
beautiful
hand.
Man.
I would say, listen, I'm not going to bother you. We're chilling here. At some point in the night, if you could, I don't care. It doesn't have to be in private. If the back of my hand could graze your jawline, that feels like to me as sexual as like a teenage boy purposely accidentally bumping into the big titty girl's chest in middle school.
Yep.
I don't know what it is about his. He's got a rectangular head and it is so hot.
So, oh my God. Guess who Chandler's been doing the makeup of lately for several things. You're gonna die.
Who?
I'm gonna give you one clue. Like I'm on 25 words or less. I'm giving you one clue. Fire.
Anymore.
I'd give you a clue. Wait.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Fire is your clue.
Okay, hold on. Fire. Chicago.
If you don't, if you don't know, think better.
Fire.
Think.
Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Fire. You're fired, Donald Trump. Okay.
Fire.
Fire.
Giving you one clue. One guess. One clue.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
Who would she be doing makeup of?
Fire.
Who's looking fire?
Pookie.
She's been doing Pookie's makeup.
She's been doing Pookie's
makeup. I go to pull up to make sure I've got everybody right in this whole, like, saga. And then who is?
She does look fire.
I mean.
She looks fire. Sorry. She looks fire.
Yeah, but Heather's one of her main people that she's, I mean, but she's always, she's at every single award show.
She's good.
And then Jenna Sims, if you know who Jenna Sims is, she's a supermodel married to a famous golfer. I also am 2 degrees away from her because I used to do pageants with her. She's...
So, I do feel...
Look at that face. That is beat. That's Chandler did that. I mean...
Does a face look like that in real life? I want to know what it looks like in real life.
Flawless. I don't know, but I want... Well, this is a video of Pookie.
Looking so good, dude. Looking so good.
Man, I like how she's just, like fully done, but also moisturized.
It feels, Greek gods are real. Greek mythology is real. And amongst us are the celebrities and the famous, and they are gods, and we are the peasants. And we are expendable. Mm-hmm. But it is fun to be amongst the gods sometimes.
But this is the girl I'm talking about who does the makeup. That's her. How gorgeous.
Yeah, she's great. She's gorgeous. She's fantastic.
Right? And she's that gets to hang out with fucking Barbara Streisand.
Man, it's terrifying. I want to tell you a story so bad about another. Okay, I'm going to say it really fast. She's connected whatever to a family that's connected to a family, da 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 da. So she's around the Rosses sometimes. Diana.
Tracy, Diana, the whole family. Yeah.
And she was at a birthday party and she had her French bulldog there one time. Mm-hmm. And the French bulldog ran around Lady Di. Lady Di of America.
Sure.
And Lady Di of America just looked up at her and goes, "I don't really do dogs." She was like, "No, you don't." And we will put her down right now.
Absolutely not. We're going to, we'll take her. I'll yell her in the backyard real quick.
Yeah. And I just, every time I see Diana Ross on anything now, I constantly think about, like, she's probably never been amongst a dog in 40 years because she's a god and doesn't need to be around a dog. And you don't matter whose dog it is and wherever she is, if Diana Ross doesn't do dogs, dogs
then there's
are
no
extinct
dogs.
Amongst her.
There's no more dogs.
There's no more dogs.
Dog,
no
never heard of dogs. A dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a few people that, because you know me, I love any podcast interviews where celebrities are being interviewed. It's like, I will listen to, especially comedic, let me back that up. Not all celebrities. Most of them are very vapid and boring for the most part, especially if they've been famous for a very, 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 very long time. I heard this rule the other day. I heard this is a very good rule. And I heard this on a podcast. Who said, somebody, it doesn't matter who. So another famous person said it, but they said the more out of touch a celebrity is, that they reach a point of no return when they have been famous longer than they've been alive.
Are those interesting people to hear? Because sometimes I don't enjoy those people.
They're saying those are the least interesting people to hear because they are fully untouchable. They haven't lived in the actual real world for so long. Yes. And it's not their fault. They just have had people do everything for them forever. They don't have to do normal things. They think it is a completely reasonable request. And this was the story. This is why this came up. The story was, insert name of this famous person here. They were at a high-end hotel, and they got in a fight with the concierge because either the concierge or the bellman or somebody at the front desk, somebody, because they would not send an IV drip up to their room and put the IV drip into their arm.
The concierge went in?
Yeah. And this person lost their freaking minds and was acting like a fool and was just like, I don't understand why you can't do, because for hydration. Like, I need to rehydrate. I don't know why you can't come up here and do this for me. And order it, send it up, and put it in my arm. And then the people that were talking about the story, the one that was recalling the story and the other one was like, that's where that rule came in. That's where I heard it. And they were like, yeah, if people have been famous longer than they've been alive, they no longer function. They're not people anymore. You can't relate to them.
When the line is blurry on who can administer IVs and who shan't administer IVs.
Exactly.
Is when you have lost touch with reality.
When you think that anyone around you that could be hired or tipped, if you think that anyone around you that you can hand cash to is a phlebotomist, that is where you are no longer, a relatable human citizen this planet.
I need my blood. To be massaged, and I need you to massage my blood immediately.
I got it done in Dubai. I got it done in Dubai. Why can't you do it here in New York? I don't understand.
Why can't you do it here in New York, Earl, if that's your real name tag?
I mean, but that's so my point is I love comedic interviews. Love them. Any actor, comedian, improviser, anybody. But I have listened to so many interviews with Tracee Ellis Ross. And I wanted, my disclaimer is this.
Oh, I'm nervous because I love her. I'm nervous.
Do I think that she is one of the most gorgeous people on the planet? Absolutely. Is her style second to absolutely none? 1,000%. She's so good at what she does. I very much enjoy watching her. I'm a fan of hers. But her in interviews, the way she was raised as the daughter of Diana Ross and being just like in her dressing rooms. And when she describes her mother's just closet and being on tour with her as she's, you know, entering and just how she has zero concept, because there's not been a day in her life where she wasn't. She came into the world famous. You can't not be famous if you're her. She'll just tell stories in interviews as if everyone understands. Well, you know, when you blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I can't think of anything offhand to like, because I don't want to try to quote her perfectly because I'm going to get it wrong. But I've heard at least three different podcast interviews with her where I was like, do you think that's how everyone was raised?
Yeah.
I think she might think that though. Because when she talks about the friends that she grew up with and the kids of this person, the kids of that person, the kids, and you're like, oh, you've never known a real person.
You've never known the struggles
of
daily brutality.
No, she's never had to just like piss in a gas station.
Oh,
you know, like
in a gas station, shit your pants in a gas station.
Shit your pants in the parking lot of the gas, because you can't get to the gas station in time.
You've never thrown your shitty panties away in a shell in Mobile, Alabama.
You've never tried to wash your panties in a shell to put them back on.
Oh, I would never fucking put them back on. I have
in a marathon.
I have shit in a romper, in a pink satin romper in Mobile, Alabama, on the side of the motherfucking road. Because the Shell gas station bathroom was out of service.
Yeah. You've never had to shoplift a lampshade from Target by putting it on the lamp sold separately and praying to God that the cashier didn't catch that the two did not come together and that they need, and then only charged you for the base of the lamp. And then you stand there sweating, watching, going, I just got to have that because I've got guests coming over and I need them. I need to look civilized and have this cute gold lamp in here, but I can't afford it. She's never had that moment in her life.
She's never had that moment, which is fine. It's hilarious. But I love
She's never sat at a restaurant and checked her bank account.
She's never been in a dressing room and been like, let me try one more thing on, and then gone on your phone and checked your bank account to see if you have enough money to purchase this item. Have you ever done that?
As the lady's knocking, are you okay in there? Do you need it? Just a couple more seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been
in there.
I forgot my Bank of America password.
Yeah. It's because the Wi-Fi's bad in the dressing room of the TJ Maxx where you're trying to check and see. She's never got enough money to buy this.
Here's the difference. She's never been, she's never been an intern. Everywhere she's worked has been interning for her. Do you know what I'm,
100%. Let's put it this way. She's never had to find out how much she's making for a project.
No.
She just shows up. She gets cast and she shows up.
Yeah, it's so true. This is the question that has always irked me. I wonder if I've ever talked about this before when they asked celebrities. It was a Smartless interview. They had Will Ferrell on. Have I ever talked about this? What they asked him?
I don't know, but I heard it.
I hate this question because the answer is always going to piss you off. They find a very successful person and they find a celebrity and they go, if you weren't living what other job do you have? Because it's like,
it's going to sound so naive. Oh, you know what I'd do? I'd wait tables because that seems like it'd be a fun, different job every day.
Yeah.
It's always some bullshit.
I'd love to be a teacher. I'd love to make $30,000 while parents screamed at me.
Yeah.
For trying to raise their shitty
snotty
children.
Nose kids wipe their fucking noses on my pants every day and the parents cuss me out. Yeah, I can't wait. Would love to work for the government. That sounds great.
It wasn't even that bad of an answer. It was he goes, I'd love to be a mailman. And I was like, in the moment I was like, I could just imagine it's 90-degree heat in Georgia. There's a mail miserable. It's a miserable route. Mail is lost and he has this interview on the radio. And he's listened to Will Ferrell, who's a nice guy. Nothing's terrible has come out about him, I don't think. He's obviously
Will Ferrell's perfect.
Talented, comedic.
Absolutely perfect, yes.
Gods we have on our earthly planet. But I was like, I would, three mailmen quit their job.
Oh, easily. Could you imagine? You're a mailman. You're in your car. You're covered in mosquito bites because you sweat off all the off spray earlier. Mm-hmm. You are nursing a pit bull bite on the back of your calf with some hydrogen peroxide you have rolling around because this is a weekly occurrence. And you are contemplating, do I get the tetanus shot this time? I could probably do without it. I think I just had one 3 months ago, and I don't know how long that lasts, but and then you hear a multimillionaire, probably close, you know, multimillionaire who just gets to be silly for a living, who hasn't had to have a regular job in 25 years, say, I think it'd be fun to be a mailman.
Well, I think that'd be cute.
What a cute outfit. You get the little shorts.
Yeah, you get to see families welcome you in the morning before they have their little coffee and run off to their cute little jobs. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cute. No paper cuts. None.
No paper cuts.
No one's ever mad at you. There's not actually a term in the American lexicon, the English American lexicon, to describe how bad being a postal worker is. There's definitely no term called going postal. Because it's one of the most stressful jobs on the planet. There's no such thing. So I'd pick that one.
Where you not only end your life,
but you take others down with you. Yeah, I'd take that job. That sounds cute.
That is cute.
What good job?
Is there a term called going podcasting where you think too highly of yourself and think the world is a podcast?
Going poddle?
Going podding?
Going podding?
Oh my God, she was such a light in this world. She was so humble, and then one day she went potting.
She went potting. Okay, I think I'm gonna go potting is what's gonna happen if we keep going. So I think we've covered all the gamuts. We've covered the gamut. I mean, not all the gamuts.
We had
just
our
the
own.
One gamut.
We had our own culture podcast today.
We truly did. Thank you, Bowen and Matt. Man, one day iHeart will take us on and we can be truly sister podcast with y'all. So here's the thing. We've got, it's not an official announcement. We said it last one, but this is our 300th episode of Cheaties. Four years, almost to the day, 300 episodes when this one comes out. And we are definitely taking a shift. We're taking a turn. It's going to be still us. We're still going to have guests, but we're just making a slight change. We're just switching a pronunciation. So it's not going to be Cheaties. It's gonna be meaties.
We haven't even reached out to anybody about changing the logo. We haven't had a photo shoot with Lola yet or anything.
No. So we're just telling our listeners, don't be surprised. Those of you who have been here with us, stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We just want you to hear it first. This is like telling a friend before they see the final announcement online. So we just want y'all, the dedicated listeners, to know we're keeping it. Sticking to our roots, but the topic, I think we have squeezed everything we can possibly squeeze out of the topic. Mm-hmm. And we want to, like we're talking about, Beyonce has listened and grown and learned mm-hmm. and has moved forward, and she has blossomed, and all good artists do. And I think we've learned. I think that it served us well as we had it. But I do think as a topic, it is kind of a bummer of a topic. We both agreed.
Yeah.
And
it's
that not everyone.
It's a hard pitch to pitch to people.
Truly. Yeah. As we've learned trying to get other networks to pick us up, they're like,
also, what? Just explaining to Jimmy Fallon. So what is Cheaties? Well, it's, you know how like sometimes you have like, like a morning show guest on, and then you'll have like Charles Manson on. It's kind of like that. Well, we're kind of dipping into like the scarier side of interviews.
Well, you know how when people go through, probably sometimes some would call it, I don't know, the worst thing they've ever been through in their life. Mm-hmm. Well, so what we do is we ask them to relive it in great detail.
Yeah.
And then we interrupt them while they tell us about their trauma.
Yeah.
And then we ask them if they like maybe like light some scented candles or something to get over it at the end. So that's it. That's kind of the podcast as a whole.
It's fun.
It's fun.
But and we did
for
it
for everyone.
We did it.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
And we've never gotten threats.
We do want to live. We do want to continue to live, though.
We've never been threatened that we would be sued every week that we've done this. So we're just moving. We're moving forward. It served its purpose. We're very proud of it. We're wildly proud of what we did. We do have a couple different things, though, in the works to make sure that this all of this material didn't just go to waste. So we've got ideas and plans of what to do with all these stories that we heard. And we're so grateful for everyone who poured their hearts out and told us their stories over the years. But I think what we're doing is meaties. It's going to be meaties. We're going to be getting to the meat. And it's meat. M-E-A-T-I-E-S. So if anyone knows anyone at Arby's, get them on board. Meaties presented by Arby's, because we got the meats. We want to get to the meat of things. We want meaty stories. We want to meet. And it's also a double entendre. It's a play on words. It's a hemagglyphorin, where it. So we're also meeting people as they tell us meaty stories. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Yeah. And it's just, it's more of just us being us instead of.
Yes.
And then inviting other people on board to be us with us.
BS with us.
Yeah, BS with us.
It's a good one. It's a good one. But we didn't want to fall too far off of
what
we were
really
already known for.
We said we were going to do this on the 300th episode. Very quickly.
Oh, yes.
What was your favorite fail that we tried so many different iterations of in different segments and different aspects of this podcast?
Go first. What's your favorite fail?
I just remember when we would have photo shoots and then we thought the best way to promote the episodes was to just put a fucking picture of
just
us.
Just a photo
of us.
That's going to do it. Yep.
Nothing to do with the podcast. It would just be like us with a little pouty face. And be like, we're talking about Amber's sad, sad story today. Here's a picture of Catherine holding up a heart balloon with a little pouty face. And that was... That was our... Do you remember those days?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So then with that being said, if that's the route we're going, I think then my choice for number one fail was to edit the episode properly. The only thing I knew how to use well was iMovie, and I used to edit it. And so I knew that if I put the whole pod, so we would film the podcast but not use the video from the podcast for anything. Because it was 4 years ago. It was another time. We didn't know podcast clips. We didn't know people were going to be filming podcasts at like high end. This is so funny that you said Amber, because I'm getting a call from Amber right now, former guest of the pod, Amber Chandler. Shout her out. So We filmed it. We were like, well, we might use some clips. We're probably just going to put the whole thing on YouTube. Did not realize that clips were going to be God. Yeah. And if we would have known what the fuck we were doing back then. But I filmed it just to edit the audio. I would then upload the whole video.
Yeah.
No, it's still a 2K whatever camera. You always thought it was like some kind of like
looks like it.
Old school camera. It's a good camera. I know. Well, that's because I bought this handle thing, or Jared had bought this handle thing that screwed into the top so it looked bigger. But anyway, so I would film it and then upload the video into iMovie, edit it, and then only export out the audio. Biggest fail.
It seems technical. It was such a long route for...
Oh, my God. Going around your ass to get to your elbow. Oh, yeah. We didn't know. We didn't know what we know. We didn't know what we know. We just didn't, you know? And this was pre-Squadcast, There was no thing like this. There was only Zoom, but it wasn't as good. I mean, it doesn't matter. We don't know. We still don't know.
We didn't know
then. We know more now.
But we're transitioning, and I'm excited. So
I'm excited. I'm super excited. I'm feeling very Beyonce about this.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Beyonce about this. I'm feeling like we're growing. We're phoenixing right now. It's okay. This is great.
You know, I meant to tell you this. I've been watching the past couple weeks, Lace, and I do feel like you are bubbling. I feel as if you're bubbling up to almost a boiling point.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're growing into a new era of Lace. I've been watching.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I might cry. Thank you.
Yeah. I think this is going
to
be
a good note to go out on, because I'm probably going to cry. I appreciate that. I'm feeling kind of shedding, skin shedding.
It's not even reptilian. Like a shedding. It's almost like I don't know. Something about you're more relaxed and confident.
Yeah.
Than you've ever been before. And
be turning 40 too. I think that also does something to you.
It's good. It's good on you.
Good. Well, don't make me cry. I appreciate that.
I like it. It's not. It's less force and more just like great. Everything that's like great in the essence of you is just naturally glowing right now.
Well, I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I just wish that
It's your allergies.
It's, you know what it is? It is the layer of hydrocortisone cream I had to put on my face because I was covered in hives right before this, right before
we
recorded.
Sorry, that's it.
Yeah, no. Don't get confused. Don't get it twisted. No,
you just can't talk as much because you're congested. Sorry.
No, it hurts to breathe. No, sorry. No, I very much appreciate that. I feel that way too, but I also think I just hate for me because I feel like there's a pattern in my life that it always happens late. I'm always a late bloomer with that kind of stuff. It always takes me so fucking long in so many aspects. And then I always become like really, really good at a thing right at the end. Wish I would have been years and years before. But right, the great thing about this is there's no end. There's no end to this career. It's not like cheerleading and shit like that where it's like in the last season where they're, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I finally felt good about everything, you know.
We're blessed. We're free birds. We're freer That's than a lot damn. Of people are, I think.
A fucking men to and that. That feels good. And no offense to anybody who feels a little tied down, because if you do in any kind of ways in your life, it'll come for you too. You got to reach for it, grab it, keep seeking it, keep crying in your car. You'll get there.
Yeah. It'll pop.
It's all worth it.
You're it's all worth it. You get into
Hey, do you, thank you. You're fucking exploding, which is so fun to watch. But all right. So speaking of exploding, speaking of being out there living your dreams, tell the people where you're going to be, where they can see you live.
Okay. I'm going out with Bert this weekend, Columbia, South Carolina, Birmingham, Clarksville, Tennessee, and then Louisville, Kentucky at the Yum Center. It's going to be crazy. I'm so excited to go back
to
my hometown and do
your arena. College town and your hometown. And you're doing arenas, dude.
I know.
Dude.
I asked him.
Of course you did, as you should have.
It was very nice. I did other weekends, and he was like, hey, it was so much fun. Me and the other guys this weekend we were on, he's like, let me know if you guys want to do another weekend. And I was like, I have a weekend. I know a weekend.
Yeah, there's a specific weekend. Yeah.
My college town at the arena I worked in all of college and my hometown. I would like to do that weekend. But
that's one of those asks that you have to do, that you would kick your freaking self if you didn't ask for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm super grateful he's having me on board. Moon Tower, after that, Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, April 17th to the 21st. And then I'm in Colorado. No, sorry. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, then Charlotte, North Carolina. Then I go to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then I'm in Denver and Fort Collins in Colorado. And then very big, I'm in LA. Lace is coming with me. We're doing Netflix is a Joke Fest, our own show at the Improv, May 9th. There are tickets available on my website at katherineblanford.com. Please come to those. I need to sell that show out. That's it.
And I need to update my website. Going through a booking transition right now, so I got to get some more stuff on my calendar. But I do have a lot of fun stuff in between. Not a ton of shows, but a ton of work, a lot of stuff. So I would say head to lacelarabee.com. You can do that. And honestly, telling you to go there will make me go and update all my shit, because I definitely need to fill it in. But I guess the next big thing, I got 12 more episodes of 25 Words or Less coming up to do. Six tomorrow, and then six again next week. Then I'm flying up to LA or to New York to go see Dulce host The Daily Show.
So dope.
Yep. And so doing some of that. But shows. I'm looking at my calendar. It's traveling for a million other things. May 9th. You know what? Okay. So I got two things before that. So let's do this. May 3rd. In LA, same thing, Hollywood Improv. I am going to be on Dulce's show.
No, we're not.
No?
Fucking kidding. We're not advertising any other shows, so Katherine sells out.
Okay, but
about to advertise another LA show before mine?
But it's before yours by a week. So it's part of the Netflix Joke Fest, too, so I'm going to be doing that one on the 3rd. Then on the 5th, you can see me in Oxnard, California. I'll be there with Dulce as well. Then I'll be on Catherine's show. The 9th, you got to go to that one though.
Yeah.
Go to that one.
Definitely go to that one.
Go to that one.
Go to the one on the 9th before you go to the one on the 5th.
Oh, why am I advertising that? Oh my God. The weekend before, I'm headlining Middle Ground Comedy Festival in Indianapolis, Indiana, y'all. Go to Indy. See me the 27th and the 28th in Indianapolis. That is April 27th, 28th. Then May 3rd, 5th, 9th, hopefully a bunch of stuff in between. Catch me out in the Los Angeles area. And then after that, next big thing I'd love for y'all to buy tickets to, catch me headlining Limestone Comedy Festival in Bloomington, Indiana. All my shows are the 31st of May and the 1st of June. Lots of little stuff in between. I'm always posting last minute shows on Instagram. If you can't find it on my website, but you're like, I know Lace is on stage 5 times a week, guarantee you it's on my Instagram, on a flyer or something like that. So, LaceLarabee.com. Also, just our Instagrams, KatherineBlanford.com, all that good stuff. And we love each and every one of you. Thank you for being along with us for the ride and with us during this this bumpy transition. But we're excited. We're excited about all the new things. So,
no matter what, stay stabby.
That's right.
Toodles. Bye.
Bye. If you've enjoyed this episode of Cheaties Podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen.
And if you've been cheated on or you have cheated, you've got a cheating story that we want to hear. Leave us a teaser voicemail at 888-STABBY-8. That's 888-782-2298. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Cheaties Podcast. And follow me, Lace Larrabee, at Lace Larrabee. And follow me, Katherine Blanford, at It's Katherine Blanford. Stay stabby.
Go to your ready-made horse. That's all you're good